Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Tuesday night. It is 10:30 on the East Coast, and this is Matt Chat Live. I am your host, Ace Diamond, and tonight I've got a very special guest, a man who, to be quite honest, a year ago I had never heard of. 3 months ago, approximately, I found a promo, listened to it, did on YouTube, and I said, this guy's got the makings of a major star. His name is very similar to a WWE superstar, but it is not. He is a Midwest and West Coast independent wrestler. Ladies and gentlemen, my guest tonight, Darren Corbin.
Hey. Well, hello. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being on the show. First question I usually like to ask is, when did you start wrestling?
So I started wrestling in 2004. And my first match was on April 11th, 2004.
So you've been wrestling for quite a while.
Yeah, I've definitely put some miles on, and so I kind of just enjoyed being able to kind of travel from coast to coast and see everything, and that was always the one thing that I wanted to do while I was being a pro wrestler. I wanted to travel. I wanted to see the world. I wanted to go to different places. So it's been a nice little journey, and I'm glad to say that it is still being able for me to continue. And I feel like after so many years, I still feel pretty good. I still feel like I got a lot of longevity left in me.
Now, I know some guys that have been wrestling for about that same amount of time who are winding down and who are still relatively young. And
yeah,
like I said, they're winding down. But you sound like you have no plans to do that whatsoever.
No, I still feel like I got a lot left to experience, and you never know what's quite around the corner. And yeah, actually there's guys that are younger than me that I know where I talk to them and they feel like their body has just been banged up and bruised up and beat up. And I don't know if it's the style that I wrestle. I don't know if it's just sheer luck, because it could be a combination of those. But I actually feel pretty good. I've had, obviously, a few injuries here and there, and that definitely has, impacted parts or maybe made me a little bit more skeptical, because there's stuff that I used to do when I started that I definitely don't do anymore. But I think it's over time. I think just in general, I've been very, very fortunate to not have anything that was major that would impact, I feel like, shortens. And a lot of the stuff I see that a lot of people do right now, I definitely don't have that happen to me on a regular basis at shows. There's some crazy stuff that I see that gets retweets and, gets a little buzz and goes viral that I'm like, as much as fun to watch it is, I couldn't imagine what my body would feel like if I had that similar experience.
Yeah, there's some things that I see. It's like, why do that? Just why?
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't, the way I see it is, if it doesn't add anything to the match, if it just looks cool, don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's always been my philosophy.
Yeah, and I always look at it as, like, everything that I try and do in my matches, normally I'm trying to always go for my, you know, I'm always trying to go for a win, or I'm trying to wear down something, you know, pick apart a body part, wears down somebody. So, like, in my mind, like, there's a couple things where I couldn't imagine, like, taking a moment to risk, put high risk on myself when I could be, like, actually trying to just, like, stay on the opponent in those cases.
Exactly. Now, you said you've traveled coast to coast. How many states have you hit so far?
Oh, I do have it written down. I have, I kind of followed the advice I remember reading in Jericho's book, and I kept track of every match I ever had, and I have it on my computer, but I believe I'm getting close to the halfway point for states. I think without double checking, I think I might be getting close to, like, I think I'm right around 20 right now, as far as how many states. Because, like, it's funny, it's like some of the ones are very sporadic in there, and some of the ones are kind of like, you know, like I travel in similar circles, like you mentioned, in the Midwest, but I'll have, like, a couple, like, just kind of random states in there that I, you know, kind of have been able to scratch off the list. Each year, I'd like to always knock them all off, and I think a lot of people always are like, "Oh yeah, I would like to hit all 50 states." But you know, as much of a goal, I just want to keep new locations, different spots, and keep doing that.
Have you wrestled in Ohio yet?
I have. I've done a few shows. I'm trying to think of a lot. We were actually just talking about this. I was talking with my fiance about this, and I think the last time I was in Ohio or wrestled in Ohio might have been when Chikara came through. And I think that might have been a couple of years, but I'm pretty positive it was that. But I've done a couple shows, like, especially when I started early, I did a few. Kind of like back in 05, 06, or maybe it was 06, 07. I did a few there. I did it when there was a promotion that I did for American Lucha Corps in Ohio. And definitely I've done, like, kind of swung out that way to, like, when I was doing Chikara on the East Coast, I was doing stopping by and doing stuff in Ohio along the way to break up the trip. But I think the last time I was there might have been when Chikara ran a show, so I think it's been a couple of years.
Yeah, I can't remember when Chikara was here exactly.
And I'm trying to even think. I don't remember the town that Chikara was in. Shoot, I'm drawing a complete blank because I'm just spaced on it.
I'm sure it was up north, because if it was further south, I probably would have tried to be there. I actually live near Cincinnati, so if anything comes within 30 miles or so, I try to make it.
Nice. I don't think I've ever wrestled in the Cincinnati area.
I know there are a couple of promotions in the Cincinnati area. Like I said, I've only seen a few of your matches and watched a couple of your promos. I think there's a couple of promotions in Cincinnati that you would be great in.
Well,
and
maybe
there's some that would be you would be a bit over their heads.
Oh, I was going to say, well, maybe if there's a few that kind of catch wind of this. I was going to say, maybe if a couple of them catch wind of this, maybe, who knows, maybe they'll reach out, or maybe I can bridge the gap and find out. Because I'm always looking for new spots. Like, I'm always totally cool with going to new places. So Cincinnati would definitely be a new spot for me.
Right. Like, I was just at a show on Saturday, and Dave Crist of OVE was on the show.
I always like Dave. Dave's a good dude.
Yeah, he is. There was a while where I wasn't a big fan of his, but and being in the area, he and I worked on some shows together, and there were some times when I wasn't the biggest fan of his. Always liked watching him, but wasn't necessarily a big fan of him as a person, but he is a pretty good dude.
I've always got along. I remember when we used to cross paths a lot when I was in AAW for a little while. We used to cross paths when he started working there. And so, like, he was always one that I enjoyed seeing. And I've had a couple matches when I was in the North Star Express against them, against the Chris brothers. And I always enjoyed our matches. I thought we did a really good job. I thought we had, like, similar but different styles. So I thought, like, we did a good, you know, like, kind of brought out a good, like, dynamic in each other. And I think, especially with what they're capable of and what we do and all that stuff, like, I think it meshed really well too. So I think that was always a kind of a nice made for a nice dynamic in those matches.
Right. So let's talk about some of the places you have worked. Let's talk about Heavy on Wrestling.
Sure.
Which I've actually never heard of them until I looked you up.
Mm-hmm.
So what can you tell me about them and your relationship with them?
So Heavy on Wrestling is a promotion. It's been around for 10 years, and they run north of the Twin Cities area up in Duluth, Minnesota. So they're about 2 hours away from, like, where I'm centrally located. So I've done, and they don't run monthly shows. They run normally, like, I would say quarterly at most. They've done, normally they do, like, bigger shows where they'll bring in a, maybe like a big name or a couple big names. And they always do, like, they kind of, I like to refer to it as, they used to do like a swing for the fences style show. So, like, that's kind of what they did. And then recently, in a couple years, they started to try and be a little bit more frequent or a little bit more, like, on par with all the other promotions here. So about 2 years ago, they kind of started rallying a little bit more. And like I said, they've done, like, some big shows, almost like WrestleCon style shows. So recently, as far as, like, with me and this company, to say that I guess there's kind of like a little bit of headbutting would be common. It's kind of par for the course. And I think it's just a different dynamic of that old school mindset of what Heavy On is to what it could be. So in my mind, like, we always kind of looked at it like it would always be like these stars of yesteryear in my mind, like, is what it used to be, bringing in guys for, like, meet and greets or whatever. And generally, like, there'd be a couple local guys on the show in the past that would just be there. And, you know, I got to give them credit for one thing. Like, probably my biggest match, or the match that kind of put me, at least got me some notoriety, was definitely at that promotion. And it was when Jerry Lynn did his retirement show, and they put that on in Minneapolis. They actually did do a show here. So they did Jerry Lynn's final show, like, final active, his last match as an active wrestler. So I got to wrestle Tommy Dreamer on that show. And that was probably the match that catapulted me, at least in the eyes of, like, local Minnesota places. Cause, like, I was just thinking it was really funny. Like, I heard a lot after that where, like, your match was really good. Like, you did a really good job. And I just always kind of want to fight back. Like, oh, I'm good. Oh, cool. You know what? Like, I've been good for a while. Cause I'd have these guys that would tell me this that were, like, basically, like, wannabe promoters, or I'd have people that would say this that were kind of like, you know, guys that have only done, they do shows once a month or whatever. And they're like, yeah, that match was pretty good. I was like, oh, it was. Because I actually thought it was really entertaining, and, like, people started talking about that show. So, like, that catapulted a lot of stuff. So I thought we would kind of ride that momentum in there, knowing that I was a guy that people wanted to see. But, like, lately it's been, like, a lot of push and shove as far as, like, with Heavy On. And, like, so we start off hot. We start off They introduced the title. You know, I've had a couple shots at it, and, like, I'm finally getting these title shots, and then finally I get this moment where they put the match together where it's myself and Eric Cannon. It's not like we're no strangers to each other, but, like, obviously we have this match. So we do this. I finally win the championship after, you know, going on a decade with Heavy On. I finally get a championship run. And I feel as though my matches and the stuff that they wanted to do with me were mostly afterthoughts. Like, we're going to bring in so-and-so. We're going to bring in so-and-so. We're going to do this. But, you know, you'll have a championship match and, like, let's do it the style of, you know, like, oh, it's typical on the independents. So we got these guys. So let's make it a triple threat match. And then let's make it a four-way. And, like, of course, you know, like, again, we're leading into these big shows, which I would consider to be the WrestleMania that Heavy On puts on, which would be Fortune-bania, which is actually another hour north. And it's a casino up there that did this big show with Heavy On Wrestling. A lot of and this may be one of the ones that you caught wind on, but that's the one where recently I teamed up with Rob Justice to face Eric Cannon and X-Pac, and the NWO interfered. So, like, it's crazy. 2018, you have the NWO interfering, but I've never gotten my rematch with them, and, like, people demand on a regular basis to have me in the championship picture. And when I was doing stuff with the championship and doing what I was doing, rather than just having these throwaway four ways and three ways, like, people were actually invested in what I was doing. So now you have Heavy On that's like, oh, we'll take a step back. So they put it on. So this, I get put in this four way and I end up losing my championship in a match I'm never pinned on. So I lose it to Airwolf, who is one of the up-and-coming stars in this area, and he goes immediately into a match with Ken Anderson, and so then they have their match in the main event of Fortune-bania. So, like, they do this while I'm regulated to a second match without even having it announced before the event starts. Now, these are things, like, again, as we get rolling, as we get going, you know, they're like, oh, yeah, a lot of people are talking about, you know, like, people, like, involved around Heavy On are like, I can't believe so many people are talking about you. And I'm like, really? You can't? Like, people want to see these shows. People want to see what I talk about. People want to see me there. And then people are like, you know, associate are like, oh, man, isn't it great that everyone's talking about you? And it's like, could you imagine if I had a match? Could you imagine if I had the rematch that everyone wants? So with that said, while I think they have made great progress in trying to put their company, like, in the forefront and try and get some attention, because this video with the NWO, I think last time I heard, has over 100,000 views or something like that. And, I mean, like, that's crazy. That's insane, which is awesome. But, like, of course, like, in the sense of it, like, I definitely could have done something also memorable, too. Now, we're leading into next year. They've already guaranteed Fortune-bania 2. And so I know that's a year away, and I know a lot can happen. But I'm demanding my title shot already. I'm demanding my rematch. And many fans realize, they catch on, I'm not receiving it. I haven't got it. When am I going to get it? Am I going to get it? And I really don't think, like, if it was up to me, I really don't think they'll give it to me. I think they'll probably figure something else, like whatever's the spur of the moment, the hotness at the time, and they'll probably give it to that person, even though, like, because things change. And, like, I think it's called, in my mind, I think it's called, like, you know, the short attention span booking, where, like, something comes up and you figure something else out. And then I'll do my thing, and it will still get attention. And, again, it will prove that I should have been here before. So, I don't know. We'll see. Like I said, I think there's two stuck in their ways to kind of move on. I don't think they saw me like they see me as the same person that I was in 2007, and they try and go a different way. And, like, you got to break out of that mindset, and their fans demand me. So I kind of would like to see them maybe come into, like, the year 2018 a little bit and figure things out rather than relying on their old ways, because clearly it's not really working. But that's my take on it.
I mean, yeah, not fully knowing the situation. It sounds like, yeah, they need to catch up with times because, and I do think that is the promo that I saw mm-hmm. where I caught wind of you the first time. And it's like I said in my introduction, you sound like you've got the makings to be a huge star, in my opinion.
Oh, thank you.
And people who are not seeing that, maybe don't know what they're talking about if, as much as they think they might.
I kind of feel like around here, like one thing that I've always noticed about the Midwest or Minnesota more so than the Midwest, I feel as though Minnesota, like, it definitely, they latch on to certain things of the past really quickly. Like the same thing that worked. I mean, first of all, like a lot of people around here still like clamor for the days of the AWA, but like there are guys that are still around here who haven't wrestled, you know, like outside of this area in years. And guys are like, oh, it's so great to see him. I was like, well, you can see him at this local show because that's all they do. They just do the local shows. And like when I first started, my home promotion ended up closing. The training center ended up closing. So I had to get out a little bit. And when I had to branch out, because there's no promotions that were going to use me here, either because of the stigma of the place that I was at or just because no one knew me because like I was busy working in that spot. So I went out and I started traveling. And I started trying to get my name out there myself. And then when I came back around, like, again, I kind of see that people are like, well, unless you were the guy here or you were this person's, like, if you were the, you know, like this person's right-hand man or you're like their golden boy, no one really cared. So I kept making a name for myself elsewhere or going other places because, like, I still think that I have a little bit more notoriety in certain other circles than in Minnesota. So now it might be changing a little bit because I'm making it change. And, like, I've started speaking my mind a little bit more. And I know a lot of places, they're kind of like, I've heard, you know, they're always like, you know, like, some of the stuff you say, like, it's going to get you in trouble. I was like, with who? Like, if it gets me in trouble, like, does that mean I'm right? If it gets me in trouble, like, are they not going to use me? You mean the same places that don't use me are not going to use me now? Like, maybe you could take a chance and try and prove me wrong. Maybe like, cause that's what I always say to places. I was like, if you don't think I'm backing up what I say, like put me on a show and see if that actually works. But like, rather, you know, like even in most cases, I think a lot of people are like, you don't want to rock the boat. You don't want to rock the boat. And I think egos are kind of a big thing. And again, like while you might have guys who are doing the same thing 10 years ago, I never wanted to be that person. I always wanted to change. I always wanted to adapt. I always wanted to grow. And like, I felt as though when I kept quiet and didn't rock the boat, I didn't really get into a situation where I felt I could progress. But then when I started like trying to make a little bit of like turbulence, a little bit of waves, then it started getting noticed. And then we started getting the opportunities because like one way or another, like, hey, I wonder what he's going to do next. Or maybe like, wonder how he'll do against this person and like, you know, have a chance to see how it all plays out. But, you know, I think it's just, I think it's that common mindset. I think it's that mindset where, you know, like it's a lot easier to accept the status quo. And I think sometimes up here, it can be guilty of that. Why, you know, like I'll try and constantly offer something different. And I think if you're a fan, you know, like, and you've been sitting there for maybe if you're a Minnesota fan, or you're a fan of the same promotion, you know, like, as I'm sure with you, like, you watch certain promotions, and, like, if they're the same as they were, like, 3-4 years ago, you might lose interest. But the place that are trying to do something different and change it up, that's where you're looking. And I never wanted to be that guy that fell in that rut and just was that guy over and over again. So that's kind of why things changed a little bit. And I figured if I want to be taken, you know, seen as a star, I should maybe like address myself and like hold myself and carry myself as a star.
That is a great mindset to have. I don't understand the people who, personally, I love old school wrestling. So AWA, NWA, 80s WWF.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I grew up on, and that's the kind of wrestling I love.
Yep.
But I also understand the need for the change that has gone on in wrestling over the last, well, I've been watching for 34 years, so over the last 34 years, things have changed dramatically several times.
Yes.
But I understand the reason, because not everybody likes the certain type of wrestling, and the business needs to evolve.
I think, like, the one thing that I started to notice a lot, and this is, you know, because, like, I feel like there are a lot of people who become disenfranchised by certain styles. And, like, first of all, like, I'll be the first to admit, there are certain things that I like about wrestling that, like, even if it's popular, the common thing or the trend, that's not me. You know, like, I've never been that style of wrestler. That's never been the thing that I liked growing up. And so, like, there are certain things that I see right now in wrestling where I'm like, probably not going to be able to do that. There's certain guys that do it well, and that's awesome. But then there's certain guys where I'm like, you're just trying to be that guy. And that one kind of is always like, why wouldn't you try and be something different? Why wouldn't you try and be ahead of the curve? But, you know, like, I think that's a whole nother topic. Now, I look back at some of the stuff that I got into when I was growing up and, like, I was watching and, like, you know, I take, like, a lot of stuff where, you know, again, being up here, I hear a lot of people talk about how much they love the AWA and, like, I understand, like, what was so important. Like, my great-grandpa was a huge AWA fan, and, like, he would stop everything in the house when the AWA was on. So I know, like, the importance and what, you know, people loved about those eras, and, like, even, like, you know, growing up in Minnesota and then also living in Robbinsdale, like, I hear stuff all the time. Like, if I'm at the gym and people find out I'm a wrestler, then they're like, oh, yeah, I used to watch it when it was Burn and the Bruiser and the Crusher and all this stuff. So, you know, like, again, I totally see all that stuff. But in my mind, what I think is really important now is I think too many people try and fall into the new trends. Because, like, I see when people get upset about WWE or when people get upset about whatever's going on, you know, if they're, like, they're not a fan of, you know, like, I don't like TV wrestling. I don't like what's on TV right now. And then some people will go to Lucha Underground and they'll watch that. Or some people are really excited about, like, All In. And then some people are like, oh, you know, these promotions are super spotty. Well, I take every one of those things that people say, and I'm like, you realize that there is something out there for everybody now, and it's easily accessible. And, like, in my head, the way I look at it is, if I don't like this style of wrestling, or if I wanted to start a certain style and I'm like, this is so much of this is so much the same, I would try and do something different. And I would try and branch into something different. Or maybe if I was a fan of the style that I liked and knew that there were fans of that style, I would try and bring that back. Because if I know that there's niche markets that can exist, I feel like in wrestling right now, this exists because of that. This exists because of that. So if you like comedy, there's a spot for comedy wrestling. If you like more, like, independent, more spotty, there's a stuff for that. If you like the TV style and you like the storylines, there are promotions that do that. And there are promotions that are doing really good, like, angles and storylines that aren't, you know, like, that aren't WWE. But, like, there is something out there now for everybody. And I like that. And I like the fact that some places are getting spotlights that I don't think they would necessarily would before. And I think those are great. And I think a lot of local promotions, while maybe even they don't get buzz outside of their state, they're definitely getting a lot of attention and they're doing, you know, good local business, which is nice. And they're fun. And that's the key. Cause, like, there are certain promotions where I look at and I'm like, and people are like, oh man, this is so great. And I'm like, yeah, I like so-and-so. I like this guy, but, like, the rest is boring. You know, like, I just saw the same thing 3 matches in a row. And then I think to myself, man, do I sound like an old, like, bitter vet now, because I remember when guys would say that about my matches. It's like, it's just the same thing. It's just a da da da. And now I feel the same way. So it's like, maybe it just came full circle and maybe it just hit me. I don't know. Who knows? It might be just how I sound. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like being somebody who was involved for a few years and had to walk away, unfortunately, I feel the exact same way, because I see things and it's like, I just saw that. And then I see it again.
Yep. It's one of those deals, like, if you know that people have already seen, why not try and be different? It just makes you stand out more. You know, in a world of the same, it just makes you stand out.
Exactly. What advice would you give to somebody young in the business who is looking to have a long career and looking to get to the next level?
So I can give the same advice that was given to me. And I was always told longevity is the key to a successful career. And I thought that was always really smart. And you never know what's going to come up down the road. That's the other thing too. Cause like, it's kind of funny. Cause like when I started wrestling, even in 04, you don't really know what's next down the road. So like, here's what I always thought was the key. Like, whatever your style is or whatever you want out of wrestling, you have to be smart and you have to be aware and know the trends, but also in the same sense, think of how you can be the best, like the most you. Like, people will say, like, they, you know, like, oh, it's great, I get compared to so-and-so. I, you know, people say I wrestle like so-and-so. Okay, but they're not saying you. What makes you you? What makes you unique? You know, and this is coming from a guy with a very similar name to somebody on TV. So that's kind of I know it sounds kind of funny, but with that said, you know, again, also in the same sense, like if I knew where I wanted to go and how I was supposed to get maybe a little bit of buzz, like there's certain times and places where you're honing your craft, you're working on things. But, like, I think a character is super important. I think being a personality is super important. I think being able to turn the knob on who you are up to 11 is great. This is the best forum to be able to do it. For everything that you've wanted to be, everything that you are or can be. And, like, a lot of times people, you can tell, they go out there and they play something they're not, or they try and be something they're not. And, like, again, I'm not the best wrestler in the world, and I don't want to be. Like, there's a lot of dudes, like, when I would watch, like, they would have these epic matches all the time. Epic matches all the time. The WrestleMania moment all the time. And I was just like, man, my body would fall apart after that. But when it's time for me to have my big match, I can do it. When it's time for me to have, you know, like, it depends on where I'm at, what I'm doing, where I'm at on the card. And again, going for that, I try to have the most memorable moments in my matches so that I stand out. And a lot of my stuff isn't moves, because, like, quite frankly, all the moves that I do probably are done by other people. I mean, like, I know, like, the ginger snap, my finish, it's a cutter. And if I see that, or should I say, if I don't see that on the card before me at least three times, I'm shocked. Because, like, I don't know how many times I've been on a show and then all of a sudden, like, match right before me does one, you know, I see it in there and I'm like, oh, good. Well, didn't even pin them, so must not have been the most effective move. And I mean, that's me being snarky, but whatever. At least mine ends matches, because very rarely do people get to, like, people actually will kick out of that move. It is normally the end when it's done. So I don't think moves are as important. I don't think it's that. I think it's the character. I think it's the way you make people feel. So if you're looking to have a long career, I think the most important thing you can do is, A, try and preserve yourself, have longevity, not give everybody everything about you all at once, and come up with something that makes you relevant or can keep you relevant. And I think character dynamic makes that best, because then that can mesh with everything else out there. So it's like, how do you stack up against this person? How do you stack up against this? How can you be an asset on my show when I got 100 guys along this, like in this dynamic? And then also just pay attention to what's around you. You're on a show, know that style, know how you can be different, know what's being done before you. So, I mean, like, that's more than one thing of advice, but that's always stuff that I think is very important and stuff that has helped me. But longevity, I was told the key to success is longevity, because you never know what's down the road.
That's very true. And how can people find you on social media?
So normally the easiest ways, I have Twitter and Instagram. It's just at Darren Corbin. That is easy. And then I guess there's two ways if you look on YouTube. One is you just go and you can search Darren Corbin. My profile should come up, or it's just Darren Corbin TV on there. So that's an easy way to find all my YouTube channel with all my like promo hype videos. I do my own web show called Snapchat, and I'm having a couple new like video stuff that I'm going to be adding, new web shows, new content. I always try and put stuff up weekly. So that's my best way to kind of find me.
And going back to the similar name, because I'm sure it's happened, how many times have you been asked if you're related?
Oh, all the time. Like, we get it all the time. But you know what? We're cool. Like, we're good. We're brothers, so it works out well. So we're having a good time with it. I'm happy. Anyone who's a Corbin with success, that's fine with me.
I love it. Well, we're about out of time. I want to thank you for being on the show. I had a blast.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Uh-huh. I hope to do it again in the future.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Darren Corbin. And, of course, I forgot to ask him the most important question, was where he can be seen next. But I'm sure you can find out that information on Twitter and Instagram. So, like I said, I'm about out of time. I want to thank Darren Corbin for being on the show. Tomorrow night, Miss Callie and I will be interviewing brand new NWF Tri-State champion Adam Swayze and his agent Gideon Weinstein. So be sure to tune in for that interview at 7:30 p.m. And have a good night, everybody.